Yes, indeed. And this morning I am joined from the University of Minnesota. Mary Meyer is back with us. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Denny. Great to hear your voice. I'm excited because we're just 2 days away from one of the holidays where many people love to look at flowers, receive flowers. So in the dead of winter, we can all have some beautiful flowers to look at.
And I was just looking at the brand new temperature, and we've dropped yet another degree. It's 7 below officially, yes. So that would fit in just nicely. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, you know how busy we tend to get on this show. So call in your question to Mary or send a text, whichever is easier. Just one number will get you either. 651-461-9226. And don't wait. Let's hear from you as soon as you can. 651-461-9226. Tell us again, for those just joining us, what is going on? I mean, we always like to talk about the Arboretum. I know there are going to be garden shows. There's also the looking ahead to spring, and boy, we need it today.
Yes, there's lots of things going on. Of course, at the Arboretum, the month of February is the flower show. So beautiful displays that you can go out there and see. This weekend is an especially great time to go because there's also an art fair with floral products and natural products that several vendors that are there, as well as galleries with beautiful art and sculptures, all with floral themes. So lots of things to do inside at the Arboretum. Also on our website, our extension website, we have a video that I did. It's a short video, but we go right into the floral designers at Bachmann's and we talk to them about the care of cut flowers and how you can keep your cut flowers lasting longer. There's also an article on the extension.umn.edu website on care of plants, flowering plants that you might buy this time of year. And of course, cut flowers won't last as long as flowering plants, but there, between the two, you've got a lot of great options for brightening up your cold February winter days.
Absolutely. And we always every week like to mention to our friends who are maybe having family visited besides friends. I know we have the big game tomorrow, but if you want to see something really neat any time of the year, get to the Arboretum. We always like to mention that to folks. Again, here's our phone number. It's also our text number, 651-461-9226. Any kind of a lawn or garden question for Mary Meyer this morning. Here's one, Mary. It says, good morning. We have a Diffenbachia that is about 4 feet high, but thin. Can we cut it back and start over?
Well, a commercial grower could cut that back and start over. They might do that. That's pretty tough for a homeowner to do. There's a method of propagation called air layering, where on the stem, high up, but just underneath where there are some leaves, some foliage, you actually cut the stem, you wrap it with moss, and then put plastic on it. And under that moss, the plant roots. Yeah, that's called air layering. And so it roots at the top, and then you can replant it and get rid of that stem or the bare plant that you have there. That's kind of a challenge. It takes several months for that to happen. And then you've got to have really good growing conditions where the plant is actively growing. So you could look that up, air layering for house plants or foliage plants, and see if that's something you might want to do. Of course, another option is buy a new plant, right? Start all over again. So between the two, I would say those are what your options are.
All right. Again, 651-461-9226. If you have, I'm looking at some text that we actually are getting lawn questions. I love it, with 7 below 0 here midwinter. Here's one, Mary. It says, I have a big patch of dead grass from the drought last year. Any suggestions on how to revitalize that area? And I know after your answer, we should mention, too, what they can find on the U of M website.
Yes, that's right. So that big patch from the drought, which was really significant last year. Yes, renovate that. Ideally, you could have done it last fall, but at this point, you can do it when we get into mid-May, when the soil is warm enough for seed to germinate. So renovation can be done in the springtime. You want to remove the dead grass that's there, so you actually have soil when you put the seed down. So it's critical to have good soil seed contact. And then use irrigation probably for a week or so to make sure you have moisture for the seed to germinate. But the directions on how to do that, the steps, etc., are all on the extension.umn.edu website. And we have a lawn care calendar there, which tells you when to do all the different things for your lawn.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great website for a lot of what you may be thinking spring and summer. Extension.umn.edu. I tell you what, Mary, let's take a break here. We have more listeners to help out either by phone or by text. The number is 651-461. Break here. We have more listeners to help out either by phone or by text. The number is 651-461-9226. If you want to call in your question to Mary or send a text, that phone number will work for either. 651-461-9226. We're in the midst of our Smart Garden Show around every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour here on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. And a good Saturday morning to you. It is 7 below 0 here in the Twin Cities. Denny Long on this Smart Garden Show, along with Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota, answering your lawn and garden questions either by phone or by text as usual. And if you have one of those questions, call it in or text it in, 651-461-9226. Hey, another garden or lawn question, Mary. Is it okay to aerate in the spring?
Yes, you can do that. We think the fall is really prime time, but our cool season grasses do grow a lot in the spring. So yes, you can do aeration in the spring as well. And the best way is really to rent or get an aerator that actually removes the soil cores from the soil. It throws them up. It makes kind of a mess, but it's very temporary. It actually improves compaction, makes more air available to the grass that's growing there. So yes, aeration, especially on old, very thick lawns, is a good maintenance idea.
Yes, I have rented one myself. It was a little heavy around. But and then that you described it perfectly. It kind of pulls plugs out of the, especially if it's like our yard, which is really compact clay. It really helps out. How often would you think with somebody with compacted soil? How every year, every other year? How often should you aerate your lawn?
Yes, it does depend on what your soil type is and what kind of grass you have, how old it is, thick it is, etc. Golf courses do this every year. In fact, they might do it more than once a year, but that, of course, would be kind of the extreme. Homeowners, yeah, usually once a year in the fall is plenty. Every other year, every third year could be reasonable as well.
All right. Again, 651-461-9226. We help, this texter says, Mary, with a flower/rose garden at church. Need new perennial border plants. Faces south, lots of sun. Do you have any ideas? Is that not only you, but maybe they could find out more from the website?
Yes, there are many ideas that you can find on the website. So I would say, yeah, there are a lot of great perennials now. Ones that I have been growing more are the alliums, that's A-L-L-I-U-M, or the flowering onions. There are many of these that are available now, different colors. They're pastel colors. They're different heights, and they're wonderful pollinator plants. They are related to onions. They're in the onion family, and so they're not as favorable for deer. And so we find that they're kind of pest-free plants. So I would suggest flowering onions or the allium. They come in different heights and different flowering times. Other ones that are really good, tough, that don't have many disease problems, some of our native perennials, like the asters that bloom in the fall, we tend to have less flowers that are blooming way into the fall that will feed pollinators. So I would recommend early in the spring thinking about having some spring bulbs, crocus, or the little galanthus, the snowdrops that come out early in the springtime. And then spring flowering bulbs are the crocus are great, but then the alliums that I just mentioned are good. And yes, there are lots of ideas that you can get on the website.
Absolutely. Yeah, extension.umn.edu. Our phone number is also our text number, 651-461-9226. Mary, what can we be doing here with 7 below 0, thinking about spring and summer? What, I mean, besides reading seed catalogs, what else can we be preparing for?
Well, I just purchased some pussy willows, some salix or willows from a mail order catalog. Now, these will come bare root in the springtime, but I've realized I don't have enough early, really early flowering shrubs that, again, are favorable for bees and pollinators early in the spring. So pussy willows is something that I've always enjoyed seeing, but I've never really had growing. So I ordered some of those to come in May. So you can be thinking about what plants you have in your landscape. Do you have any ash trees? Now, we're hoping that the ash borer is dying out there, because we have found some research that it is favorable to be living in a cold climate if you're a tree that has had ash borers as a problem. We know that at minus 20 and even better minus 30, these insects will start to die. So that is one positive thing for living in our cold climate. We might have fewer pests. But if you have an ash tree and you're concerned about that emerald ash borer, now is the time to think about what other kinds of trees should I be planting? How many trees do I have in my property as far as diversity goes with different kinds of trees? Diversity is our one ally when it comes to pests and diseases. So we want to have many different kinds of trees. So I'd be thinking about, what do I have in my landscape that might be need to be replaced this summer?
Okay. If you'd like to chat with Mary, call 651-461-9226. Let's grab a phone call. I think Rick is calling in from Coon Rapids this morning. Rick, thank you. What's your question for Mary?
Yeah, hi, Mary. Say, wandering through the grocery store, I sometimes see bags of raw peanuts. Can I plant these? Will they grow into a plant? I have never seen a peanut plant.
Well, Rick, peanuts are really fun to grow. I would urge you to try that out. They do require a long growing season, but our growing season is getting a little longer here in Minnesota, so it's worth a try. I grew peanuts as a kid in Pennsylvania, where it was zone 5, so a little bit longer growing season. You could try those raw peanuts, but that's pretty much of a risk. It really depends on a lot of things, how they have been held since they were harvested. So it's kind of a risk. You can buy peanuts to plant from seed, and they're for sale in the same seed catalogs where we would buy tomatoes, peppers, and all of our flowers, etc. You'll have a little better chance if you go to the seed catalog, because you'll be able to know the length of time from planting to harvest. And so you want to get one of the earlier varieties. So the amazing thing about peanuts is they produce a flower above the ground, and then they have this kind of pedestal or stalk, and the flower drops down into the ground, and the peanut is grown underground. So it actually develops the fruit underground. So when you harvest it, you have to dig them up from the ground. But it's a great plant. It's in the legume family, so it fixes nitrogen pretty easy to grow, likes well-drained soil and full sun conditions, but really a great plant to grow for peanuts. Gee, maybe I should be growing some for my grandkids, because it's a lot of fun to see peanuts grow.
Now, here in Minnesota, especially in our Zone 4, maybe 5, but Zone 4 certainly, how long, if you have full sun, I mean, how long of a process would it be from planting to harvest, would you say?
It's going to take the whole season. So mm-hmm. It's going to be in September when you're going to harvest, September or into October. It's going to take the whole season.
All right. Interesting. Like to try that. Yeah. All right. I tell you what, let's do this. Let's take a break. We're going to have a look at that forecast, whether we like it or not. But there is a warm-up coming ahead here, so there is positive news. So stay with us. We have about another half hour of our Smart Garden Show to go, so if you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, don't hesitate. Call or text Mary at 651-461-9226. That forecast is straight ahead here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here, along with Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota, answering your lawn and garden questions. If you want to call it in, fine. If you want to text it in, it's the same number, 651-461-9226. Again, 651-461-9226. Mary, speaking of phones, let's grab a call from Beth, who I think is calling in this morning from Champlin. Beth, thank you. What is your question for Mary?
Hey, good morning. It's a specific topic, but I have both kind of a general and specific question around it. So I read an article about Lenten roses, or is it Hellebore, the, you know, botanical name?
Hellebore.
And
yes.
Hellebore. Thank you.
Right.
And I have a couple of them. I really like them. And this article in this kind of popular national magazine is promoting lots of varieties. I don't see a lot of varieties of them in Minnesota garden centers. So my general question is, I'm always leery of ordering plants from that were started in hotter zones, like 6 or 7, and putting them in zone 4, even if they're zone 4. So I don't know if that's generally a good or bad practice. So that's question number one. And then question number two is, if I want to expand my hellebore collection, do you have some mail order places that you recommend?
Oh, great questions, Beth. So hellebores or Lenten roses are a great perennial to really investigate if you have not grown them. For a long time, I was hesitant to grow them because, well, we didn't really think they were going to be hardy here. That was number one. And they had this aura of being really difficult. But neither one is really true. We have found that you can grow many hellebores here in Minnesota. They are a little later for us to flower. They don't flower in Lent for us because we're usually still covered with snow. But they do flower early in the springtime. And I think the thing to keep in mind about hellebores is they have to have well-drained soil. And it, many times that translates to dry. They really like light soil conditions, and they don't like a lot of wet water, especially in the winter time. So I've had the most success with them in really dry sites. Now, as far as your questions about where to get them, yes, they take a long time to grow. They're slow growers, and they're often small when you see them in the garden center. So you think, oh, you know, do I want to spend as much money on this plant when it's not very big? But if you just keep looking, hopefully you'll find more of them in the garden centers here. I would go ahead and order them mail order. That's okay. We don't see as many problems with herbaceous plants, the things that have their roots underground and their tops die back. We don't see as many problems with those things grown in warmer climates, as long as you're buying a name cultivar variety. If it's grown further south, it will still do okay up here. Where we run into problems with that provenance or where the plant is grown is more with woody plants. The woody plants, we see that quite a bit. If you buy a maple that's been grown in the south, it might not do as well up here in the north. So, but the herbaceous, you'll be okay. I would go on the extension website. I'm not sure what we have on there for hellebores, but I have several different varieties now, and I've been very happy with them. So I would say pick the colors that you like. Just make sure you've got a well-drained location. They take some shade as well. They will do okay in some partial shade. It's not that they never want water. Once they're established, then you have to be careful about them getting too wet.
Okay. Here's our phone number. It's also our text number, 651-461-9226. This texter, Mary, says, what are the advantages of no-till gardening? Maybe you can talk about that for a while.
Yeah, well, we certainly know a lot of farmers are going into no-till gardening, and one of the biggest advantages on a large scale is that you don't have wind erosion. Wind, of course, created some huge problems in the Dust Bowl days when the wind carried soil away, and a lot of that was because it had been plowed. So less tillage means less erosion. The soils that are compacted actually do better to have some tilling originally, but this annual tilling or tilling more than once a year is more than what we now realize is actually necessary. So I would say it depends a lot on what you're starting with if you want to really go with no-till. I have had vegetable gardens in some really heavy compacted soil areas, and no-tilling, I have a tough time doing no-tilling in that type of a situation. But over the years, after you add organic matter to soil and you have good tilth or structure to it, there isn't a need to do this heavy and deep tilling that we originally thought that was really important, but we now know that is not as critical.
Okay, very good. Again, our number, phone number, and text number is 651-461-9226. This listener would like you to repeat where they can watch or see the video on how to care for cut flowers.
Yes, so that video is up at the extension.umn.edu website. It came out this year in an email to everyone who subscribes to the Yard and Garden News, which anyone can do. You'll get once or twice a month, you'll get an email with an update of what to do in your garden. So that's where it is. So you can go to extension.umn.edu, click on Yard and Garden, and you'll see the link there for Yard and Garden News. You could also, in the search engine, put care of cut flowers. It's a short video, but we had a lot of fun doing that with Bachman's and talking about the care of cut flowers. So the simple steps for caring for cut flowers are recut the stems and put them in water that has a preservative. And the preservative are those little packs that come with cut flowers, or you can pick those up at the grocery store when you buy them. So that preservative really makes a difference. You can practically double the life of cut flowers when you use it. But it is fun to see the folks at Bachman's who are working long hours making hundreds of arrangements that will go out in the next few days.
They do such a great job. Mary, as far as the extension and signing up now to get this information, extension.umn.edu, how do our listeners join and so they can get that information from time to time?
Yes. Yeah, so if you search for the Yard and Garden News, and in fact, you can just do that on Google, you can put in, or Yahoo, whatever, put in extension UMN Yard and Garden News, and it will come up with a link. And then you can sign up with your email so that you can get that on a regular basis. So that's our way of communicating what's timely, what you should be doing now. We have another article that came out this week on how to select your vegetables, what varieties. You know, the Minnesota Master Gardeners are trialing varieties year after year. They've got their favorites, their winners up there. The folks over at Purdue have been doing taste trials, and they've got a link. There's a link there to the Purdue vegetable trials. There's one to Wisconsin as well. Cornell does the same thing. So there are just, you know, we're drowning in vegetable varieties, but we all want to get one that tastes good, that's easy to grow for northern climates. So it is a big deal on these trials for what to grow. So this time of year, that's what we're all thinking about as gardeners. What are we going to be planting and putting in our orders for the seed catalogs?
And I'm just looking at this other text. If you have a question, if you'd like to call it in and chat with Mary, great. If you like to just send to Mary a text, that's good too. One number to remember, 651-461-9226. This listener, Mary, says, does a canna have a lifespan? A texter would like to start them growing indoors in the spring, but would they fade earlier in the fall? They want to grow them indoors now in their own pots and have them full grown when they take them out in the spring, if you can follow that.
Yeah, that should work. Yeah, that's no problem. So canna, C-A-N-N-A, canna is a big tropical foliage plant, very dramatic, really showy. It has a big flower on it. And they're tropical. You see them in the south. They grow year round. And so we often have the challenge of having a long enough growing season because they take a while to get going because they like warm weather. So starting them indoors is a good idea. Yep.
All right. Very good. Let's grab a phone call. I think Becky is calling in from White Bear Lake this morning. Thanks, Becky. What's your question for Mary?
I just purchased a miniature cactus garden, and I'm wondering, in the wild, they would get hardly any moisture at all. How should I treat that? It's about 8 inches square and 4 inches high.
Okay, Becky, good for you. I hope you'll have a lot of fun with the cactus garden. This is a new and very popular thing now with the succulents. So they are pretty much low maintenance. Watering them is the challenge, I think, for most people because they don't need very much water and not very often. And it's even more challenging if your cactus garden doesn't have a drainage hole. So hopefully there's a drain hole in the bottom of it, or it's a pot within another pot that you can take to the sink and water it. So it's hard to say. Let's see, 8 inches square, 4 inches high, so you haven't got too much soil. It's always a challenge for us in horticulture to give you a firm recommendation, like a cup of water once a week. That's probably too much. A cup of water every 2 weeks. That might be okay. Once a week. That's probably too much. A cup of water every 2 weeks. That might be okay. It's just really hard to tell. So you want to wait till the soil dries out to the touch and maybe dry half an inch or an inch down, and then water it well, let it drain out the bottom, and wait till it dries out again. So cactus don't need much moisture, but they are going to need some moisture. And it's amazing how dry it is in our homes in the winter this time of year. So you will have to water it some, but you want it to dry out in between times and give it good light.
All right. I'll tell you what, Mary, I'm getting a signal here. Do we need to take a bit of a break? We have more Smart Garden Show to come. If you have a lawn or garden question, now's your chance. 651-461-9226. 7 degrees below zero right now. We're hoping to get up to about 6 above here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Please. And a good Saturday morning to you. It is 7 below zero in the Twin Cities right now. We hope to get up to about 6 above later today. But a warm-up is promised this coming week. Denny Long here with Mary Meyer from the U of M. And we're talking, of course, every Saturday this time with our Smart Garden Show. And Mary, there's one we get from time to time. Huge problem. How can we get rid of moles?
Oh, this is one of the most difficult questions we get. The moles that are in our lawns usually are herbivores, so they love to feed on plants, and many times they will eat plant roots and tunnel around, have a great time in our lawns, and they're very elusive. It's very hard to really see them, and if you do see one, for some reason I encountered a dead one, I think it was last summer, in our lawn, and yes, they are really amazing when you see them. They're quite small, but they can do a lot of damage. So the only really effective way is trapping them, and that's something I would never do because the traps are really big, and you have to set those over their runways. So I have just learned to live with moles, but they're really, it's really one of the most difficult things other than trapping. I can't really give you a good recommendation. You can read about their life cycle and understand where they live and how they move around. And that is helpful whenever you have wildlife damage. You want to understand really what is it about your property that's making it so attractive that they keep coming back. So I would urge you to look on our website and read about a mole's life cycle. And that's about it other than trapping.
Yeah, they love those grubs and stuff like that in your lawn, for sure. They do. You're right. They can do a whole lot of damage. Wow.
Yeah.
Those critters. All right. We've got so many texts, I don't think we're going to get them all here, but when is the best time to trim bushes such as lilac, spirea, etc.? How late until you should not trim them? In other words, the texter says, when should you not trim them?
Well, when you should not trim the lilacs is really right now, because you're going to cut off the flower buds. So if you don't care about flowering, you can prune them right now in the winter. But the best time for lilacs and early spring bloomers is right after they bloom. So by July 15th, they've set their flower buds for next year. So you won't kill the plant, but you'll just get rid of all the flowers if you prune them now. So right after they bloom is the best time.
Mary, this texter was asking you to give some suggestions, excuse me, for perennials that do well in shade other than hostas.
Yes, so one of my favorites are the perennial geraniums. So there are many beautiful perennial geraniums that will flower very well in the shade. Hellebores or the Lenten rose that we talked about earlier in the show, that's another good one. There are many types of ferns, although those don't have flowers on. Let's see, the other... Gosh, I had a couple in my head and now they just popped out. Some of the astilbes will do quite well with limited amount of sunlight. There are ground covers like the vinca and lamium. Lamium is a very aggressive ground cover, but that is something that flowers very early and very late in the season that has kind of a long time for flowering. But we do have the information on the extension website, and we have shade gardening in particular because that is such a popular thing now with many people that have property, the trees grow, and then suddenly you have shade that you have to deal with. So there are several other things. Early spring bulbs, many of the tulips, the species tulips, crocus, small flowering bulbs, they will do very well in shady conditions, and then they die down. And when your other perennials, geraniums, hostas, and so on are coming up, that will cover up the bulb foliage.
Okay. This listener, Mary, wants to know, is it too late to trim maple trees?
No, you can do that now. Dormant pruning for trees is a really good idea on the deciduous trees. Oaks you can prune now, maples. The closer we get into springtime, the more likely you will see the sap come with maples, but that does not hurt the tree. That's a normal phenomena, and the best time is when they're totally dormant right now.
This texter says, hey, Denny, just received our Burpee seed catalog. No peanuts for sale from them. On that one.
But I did go online, and Burpee does have online that they're selling peanuts.
Ah.
Yeah, it's 140 days is what I saw. 140 days.
Oh, wow.
Days, and that's kind of right on the money for us with our growing season. So it's the whole time, but certainly fun to try it out.
2 minutes to go on the show, Mary, so let's see if we can't get this help fast. This listener interested in planting Norway and white pine on our property near Mille Lacs. Do you recommend a started or potted plant or seedlings? Which has the best chance of survival?
Both are good choices. You can get twice as many if you get the seedlings, the small plants that are bare root. Many mail order catalogs sell those, and I've planted a lot of those over my life, and some won't come, but a lot of them will. So I would go with more and smaller bare root plants, and just put them in right away when you get those.
What could cause tough skin on tomatoes, listener wants to know?
That's a variety difference. And we tend to see that a lot now with small tomatoes, the cherries, etc., that people don't want them to split. So sometimes breeders are selecting for tough skins, but that's strictly a variety thing. It might happen too with drought. If you're growing in a container and there's not enough water, it might be a little bit, but mostly a variety difference. So just pay attention to what variety you're getting.
Mary, we're just about out of time, less than a minute, half a minute to go. Get to the Arboretum is one thing. And secondly, get on the University of Minnesota website, extension.umn.edu. Any other suggestions before we take our leave, Mary?
Oh, yeah. The Arboretum is a great thing to do, always refreshing the walk outside or see that flower show that's inside. Yes, think about your garden. There are many things that you can do, and enjoy those Valentine's flowers and plants. A wonderful holiday for horticulture.
Yeah, happy Valentine's Day, Mary. We'll talk real soon. Always a pleasure.
That's correct, Denny. Always a pleasure. Thank you.
You have Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota. Get those home improvement questions ready. Andy Lindis will be, as usual, fielding those next hour. You might want to talk about insulation. Maybe let's dream about decks, new decks. Right now, a few clouds in the Twin Cities. We're going to be warming up to near 6 above, but right now the wind chill at a minus 23. Our current CCO temp, 7 below. Stay with us.